we're coming to you live from the Pickup Country 104.9 Irvin Studio. This is Come On Home, bringing you the people news and views that make Irvin, Ravenna, and Estill County, Kentucky's hometown. I'm your host, Goosehead Joe. Hope everybody's doing well out there today. I know it's a little bit gloomy outside. It's been a little rainy here lately, but we're going to see just a couple more days of that, and then it's supposed to shape right up for us. So, hope you're making the best of it, and we did need the rain, so I hear. All the meteorologists tend to want to say that we've been near drought conditions, so it's probably a good thing that we're getting the rain. It just seems like we always get it all at once, and it would be nice to, you know, maybe spread it out a little. I don't want to say we need to be subtropical or anything, but it is nice, you know, when you're down on the coast and it'll rain really hard for about 10 minutes and then the sun comes back out. And there is quite a bit to be said for that. But regardless, I hope everyone is doing fine out there and enjoying your week. I'm glad you chose to join me on this hump day. And it's a little crazy. You know, I get kind of wonky when things aren't set and in their perfect little rows. But today, I am expecting, let's hope, I've got my fingers crossed. My guests are supposed to be some members from the Estill County High School Junior ROTC Raider team. They had a fantastic weekend and had some great success in competition, and wanted to let you hear straight from them exactly what they were able to accomplish and what they did. So the plan was for them to be here right now talking to you live, but as you might expect for full-time high school students, you got educations first. So one young lady had a test she had to get into, and there were a couple college classes that were interfering, so we're hoping for the best. I'm waiting for a text message to find out when and where I can call them when they are between classes or what have you. So I'm hoping that all that turns out and we can get those young folks on the phone, because they are amazing. They achieve such wonderful things, and it's really good for us to hear from them and show our appreciation to them. We'll talk a little bit about that more later. Also, it was a great Saturday for the Estill County High School Marching Engineers. They went up to Mason County, where they last year was the first ever Grand Champion honors, which is first overall of all the bands, no matter what class you are. And that was the first time in the history of the program that we were aware of. They went back up this year and basically set the world on fire. This was the first Saturday that they performed their entire show. That's kind of how it works with marching band. You get as much on and clean as you can, and then sometimes you don't have the whole show on the field before you start with competitions, and that happens to a lot of groups. But they had their closer on the field, and it really is a spectacle. The performance that these kids put on really is impressive. If you haven't seen them yet, make sure to check them out. I don't have the dates in front of me. I know that they are going to the Madison Central competition. So that's usually the one that all the Estill folks come out to, because it's such a short drive for us. But big congratulations to Mr. Bowles and Ms. Whirl and all of the staff and all of the kids. Again, this is the biggest group that Estill County has had in some time. I'm talking like years and years and years since we've had a band this big, and they are good. I joke with Mr. Bowles that they're kind of freaks, because they perform kind of above and beyond what you would ever imagine. So it's great. They're good freaks. But big congratulations to them. They have just been, kicking hind ends and taking names, and have actually defeated the last year's. Of course, last year our marching band was the Class 2A state runner-up, made it all the way to state finals for the first time in the program's history, and then placed second in the state. They have already defeated last year's state champion once. They will be seeing them again either this coming weekend or the next one. So that's started to, I guess, evolve into quite a rivalry. Of course, last year's 2A state champion, Garrard County High School. Fantastic program, great kids, and it's going to be interesting to see how this kind of back and forth takes shape. So make sure and check out the marching band. Hopefully, we're going to be hearing from some of the ECHS Raiders before the show is over today. But that all said, that kind of puts me upside down a little bit, and I'm trying to figure out how to move forward. So I guess I'll jump right into it with a little music right now. And what better way to kick it off than with a little Goose Creek Symphony? Here is their version of Uncle Pen.
Come from far away, dance all night till the break of day. The caller hollered out, do-si-do. You knew Uncle Ben was ready to go.
Late in the evening, about sundown, up on a hill and above the town.
Uncle Ben played the fiddle, all the how it rang.
You could hear it talk and you could hear it sing.
Called a Soldier Joy, then he played one called the Boston Boy. The greatest of all was Jenny Lynn. To me, that's where the fiddling began.
Late in the evening, about sundown, on a hill and above the town,
played the fiddle, out of how it rang.
You could hear it talk and you could hear it sing.
Called away. He hung up his fiddle and he hung up his bow. You knew it was time for him to go.
Late in the evening, about sundown, on a hill and above the town.
Played the fiddle, Lord, how it rang.
You could hear it talk and you could hear it sing.
The boys in the band, a little Goose Creek for you there with Uncle Pen. And I tell you, the goose just makes me feel good. I hope it does the same for you. I want to talk a little bit now about the Leadership Leap project that's going on right now. I talked a little bit about it last Wednesday, but they have come up with a really cool idea all about trying to build the pride in our entire region. Of course, Leadership Leap, been going on for a few years now, was a really great thing that we started. Actually, the first year was just Leadership Estill County. We got that started with the help of an ARC Flexi grant from Brushy Fork Institute. And it went so well that we were able to partner up regionally and bring folks from our different counties together. So this year we have participants from Estill, Lee, Powell, and Jackson counties. We've had participants from Owsley County and Wolf County in the past and hope to do so again. So, but we've got this group. This year's group is 10 folks from all four of those counties, and they're working together to try to build pride in our region as a whole. So they came up with this idea, and pretty much it's a hashtag to begin with. Hashtag I am Eastern KY. You can go to Facebook, search up I am Eastern Kentucky, and this page has well over 4,000 likes, and it's just been less than 2 weeks now. And I have never been associated with anything that has caught on this quickly, and especially on such a broad scale. One thing, you know, a lot of folks out there, and yours truly included here, have been in one way or another involved with SOAR, the Shaping Our Appalachian Region initiative. Everything's kind of shifting that direction. It's put a spotlight on Eastern Kentucky that we really haven't had in years and years and years, trying to figure out some of the answers on how to fix the worst problems and lift up folks that just need an opportunity. So that being said, there's been a lot going on. Of course, there's this huge broadband initiative that's coming out of SOAR. And one thing that and I agree with our LEAP group, one of the things that seems to be kind of overlooked with SOAR is reminding the folks in Eastern Kentucky and from Eastern Kentucky that we have to be proud of where we're from. We're so used to folks all, you know, in other places talk about the bad things here. Well, every place has bad parts about it. There's no doubt about that. And it just seems like only our bad things are what get highlighted. And, you know, there are bad things in New York City, but folks don't always talk about the bad things. It's all about, you know, the great things that exist within New York City. The same thing applies right here in Eastern Kentucky. So hit up Facebook, go to that I Am Eastern Kentucky Facebook page. A lot of folks have been sharing pictures and comments and videos about how proud they are to be part of Eastern Kentucky and what it means to be from or in Eastern Kentucky. And we encourage you. That's part of it. We're wanting folks to get on there and do little selfie videos. You can get somebody else to hold it for you if you want, but get a video made. Just say, you know, this is who I am, this is what I represent or where I work or what I do, and I am Eastern Kentucky. And actually, the next 2 days, I'll be visiting with our LEAP participants, and they're going to be working on some video footage and editing, and they've been doing some really cool things trying to highlight what is absolutely wonderful about our region and push that out there to remind people, you know, we have great things here. There's no reason to hang your head. There's no reason to say that, to think that things are automatically better because they're not within our region. It's just, you know, it's ridiculous. Everybody, no matter where you're from, should be proud of where they're from or where they are, because you know, not everybody here is from here, and that's great. We have to be welcoming, and we have to make sure that everybody knows, as long as they're a positive influence, they're welcome. And that's kind of what these folks have come up with. And they've got a lot of cool ideas, and we hope to see this spread and catch on and see even more things happen with it as we move forward. So it's a really cool thing. Again, it's I Am Eastern KY is the hashtag. Just search up I Am Eastern Kentucky on Facebook and check out the page. Give it a like. Share it with your friends. Find pictures that either the page has posted or other folks have posted on there, and share those and let your friends know how proud you are to be in or from Eastern Kentucky. It's all good stuff, so make sure and give it a look. And I'll come back in a few minutes and talk a little bit more about Brushy Fork that I mentioned. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. You're listening to Come On Home. Welcome back to Come On Home with Goosehead Joe. All right, I tell you, let's get another tune in here real quick. I'm feeling a little bit of Corey Smith, I believe. Of course, he's got some really good tunes out there. If this is your first time listening to the show, I bring Corey, bring him to you a little bit here and there. So got a kind of a ballad from him. This is off his album Undertones, and this is called When the Sun Goes Down in Georgia.
Fell in love at a glance, should've known I'd never have a chance to be with you in the long run. You have a plan, I am not in. You're gonna move up north to live again whenever school is over. So I have to let you go. But before you leave me here, there's something you should know. When the sun goes down in Georgia, I'll be drifting back in time, wishing love could have changed your mind. But when the moonlight shines through the pine trees, I'll get lost in memories, dreaming you are here with me. Oh, it's sad but true, I'm just your lovesick fool. So when the sun goes down in Georgia, oh, I'll be missing you. Bet you never had a clue, but I'd do anything to be with you. I'd leave this place in a heartbeat. I'd move away from my sweet home just to be your faithful tag along. I'd follow you forever. But if you're better left alone, I'll do my best to understand. Still my love will linger on, 'cause when the sun goes down in Georgia, I'll be drifting back in time, wishing love could have changed your mind. And when the moonlight shines through the pine trees, I'll get lost in memories, dreaming you are here with me. Oh, it's sad but true, I'm just your lovesick fool. So when the sun goes down in Georgia, oh, I'll be missing you. Oh, it's sad but true, I'm just your lovesick fool. So when the sun goes down in Georgia, I'll be missing you. I'll be missing you.
When the Sun Goes Down in Georgia. A little Corey Smith right there. I tell you, I love some Corey Smith. Let me talk a little bit about Brushy Fork Institute really quick. This was actually when I was on the air last week. That was... I was actually supposed to already be at Brushy Fork Institute, but we got all that worked out, and Lindsay Rogers and I actually attended the Trail Town workshop track, and it was, I tell you, it was fantastic. We got to work with Mr. Seth Wheat, who is with the Trail Town program in Frankfort, and got to learn all sorts of great things about exactly how to go through the process. I've talked about Trail Town before. I've actually had Lindsay in to talk a little bit about it. I think I'm going to have her back pretty soon to kind of talk about next steps. But it's a great program. If you've been down to Livingston and seen what they've been able to accomplish because of Trail Town, it's really, really cool. It's great for the community. It's funny because it's mostly geared toward making your community ready for visitors and to be the most welcoming and inviting and helpful that you can be for folks that are coming in to use your outdoor assets, the things you have to do outside as a community. But what ends up happening is you're improving everything, and it makes it better for all the folks that that live in our communities as well. So it's a really cool program. For those of you in the listening area, I know Slade actually is working there kind of toward the beginning of the Trail Town process. There's also been efforts in Beattyville. Actually, there were some folks from Campton who were in the workshop track with us, as well as the folks representing Slade. I know that there's work being done over in Berea. It's a lot of folks are really trying to harness this Trail Town idea and move it forward. So wherever you are, odds are, I mean, McKee is setting the world on fire. They're actually getting ready to do their trial run, which is pretty far down through the process there. I got to learn a lot more about their efforts through a couple of our LEAP participants. So it's really cool. There's a lot of great things going on, and make sure and if you're interested in that kind of thing, and I mean that, it's all over the place. There are so many things, different facets of Trail Town that I'm sure whatever skill set you have or interests that you might have, they can definitely be put to use and for the better, for the good of the entire community. And we get more of these Trail Towns, then we can work on trying to connect and be a trail region. And I think that's the what we're all really looking for, is to try to figure out ways that we can tie to one another. Because let's face it, the roads between many of our communities aren't the straightest things out there. they're not really, we're not really set up to jet from one of our towns to another. So to be able to connect by trail is the next best thing. To be able to go from one of our towns to another and never get on the pavement. That'd be an amazing thing, and another great way to tie us all together and remind us that, you know, high school football and basketball rivalries, at the end of the day, they really don't count for much because we're all of the same people, and we all just want to have better places to live. So we got to come together and try to work together to make all that happen. So I tell you, we're going to take a quick break here, and I actually have a phone call guest. It's not the one that I promised you, but just as entertaining. So we'll be back right after this. You're listening to Come On Home. Welcome back to Come On Home with Goosehead Joe. I am now joined on the telephone by a regular guest and great friend of the show, Mr. Mike Collins with the Mike's Travel. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing good, Joe. How are you today?
Oh, just fantastic. I know both of us are a little bit excited because we've got something coming up here, and I wanted to give you the chance to tell folks about it one more time.
We're fixing to leave on our annual trip. We're going to be escorting 51 people to Florida. We're going to spend a few days in Florida, and then we're going to get on a cruise ship, Royal Caribbean ship, in Enchantment of the Seas, and we're going to spend 4 days in the Bahamas and then return home.
There's nothing wrong with that, is there?
Oh, no, no.
Now, you've actually, and we talked about it many, many, many months ago, you've been working on this trip for quite a while.
Yes, we have.
So you say you got 51 folks signed up, and now everybody's not necessarily going down together, but we're all getting on the boat around the same time.
Yeah, we'll be all getting on the ship at the same time. It's a ship, Joe. It's not a boat. It's a difference, and I can explain that one day.
Excuse me. Sorry about that.
But most of the people are going to start heading down Friday, and some are going to head down Saturday, but we all plan to meet up in Florida either Friday night or Saturday afternoon sometime, and we're going to spend a few days there on the beach, and some of us are actually going to go to SeaWorld on Sunday and spend a day there, and then we're all getting on the ship on Monday, and then we'll be all heading back on Friday.
Well, very cool, and I know, yes, Goosehead here will be going and be in full effect, and the Goslings are going as well. I got my wife and kids are going to be along for the ride, and we're real interested to see how the kids are going to do on the ship. But for anybody, and I've had this conversation with you many times in many different ways, but for those folks who, you know, have maybe not ever cruised before and they have kids, and that's kind of what's keeping them from going forward with it, how do you ease those concerns?
Well, the ship is full of kids, I mean, but sometimes you won't even see the kids, but they have so many different activities for the kids, and there's a daycare program that caters to all age groups up to 17. And then they'll be off in their own little age groups. So there's all kinds of activities for them to do. You don't have to put the kids in it, but it's there in case you want to use it. They have babysitting services if you want to have a night alone. A lot of people will let their kids go and check out the children's program, and if they want to go, they can go. If they don't, they stay with their families. So, I mean, there's tons of stuff for the children and families to do, and it's one of the safest vacations you'll ever do.
Well, and that's the thing. A lot of folks, too, have a kind of a, I guess for some people, it's a fear of being on a ship that far away from land. You know, the thing about it, though, these ships are only moving like 20, 25 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no icebergs in the Caribbean, right?
No icebergs. And these ships now, with all their modern-day motors and guiding systems, I mean, it's just awesome what they can do and maneuver around things. And, you know, it's just a wonderful trip.
Well, and for those folks out there that have always been as impressed as I am watching school bus drivers, because it seems like good school bus drivers can put a bus anywhere. And so pretty much the captains of these ships are like, they're driving the biggest school bus ever.
Yeah, and it's something else when you're pulling into a port and there's already 6-8 ships there, and that captain parallel parks on these ships.
Exactly.
And you're talking about a ship that is longer than 3 football fields together and as wide as a football field, and some of them hold like 10,000 people.
Right.
And they can parallel park that thing. It's something else. I can sit, they'll turn it, and I mean, it's just, they can turn it complete 360, and it's just awesome.
It really is cool. And I want to back up real quick as far as, because you called the Adventure Ocean, you referred to it as a daycare. It's really more of a kids club.
Yeah, it's more like a kids club now. I call it daycare because they do take kids as young as 6 months old.
So right.
They is a group of them where it's from 6 months to like 3 years old. So that's more like daycare.
Right.
But now when you get up into the 8 and 10-year-old groups and up, I mean, it's like a little club.
Right, right.
And the younger kids, they get to, I think it's really cute, you'll be just sitting there on the deck, pool deck, sitting there minding your own business and catching some sun, and then all of a sudden you got 20 or 38-year-olds running through with eye patches on and skull and crossbones painted on them and with swords in their hands, and they're doing their little pirate parade. It's cute.
Yeah, there's
I can see your youngest one doing that.
I have a feeling, yeah. I just hope they can keep him on the ship. But it's it really is cool, and I know my wife and I checked it out when we were on a cruise without the kids to look at everything and see what they did, and it really is cool. And we decided right then that we had no problem with them being there for part of the day, because they were probably, after that first day, they're not going to want to see us anyway. There's too many fun things for them to do, and they don't have to worry about us cramping their style.
No, I mean, this ship is loaded down with stuff. And it's, let's see, what it say, Wednesday. We don't leave Irvine until Friday. We don't get on the ship until Monday. So there is still time, and I checked yesterday. There is still room on the ship, still plenty of room. If anybody wanted to go, they could, you know, give us a call at 723-MIKE, and we'd set up an appointment and get them all checked in and get them to go with us. It's going to be a great time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, and for those folks, you know, yeah, this sounds great. I can't believe we didn't hear about this sooner, but there's no way that we could get away next week. I wonder if they're ever going to do this again.
Yes, we do. We do it once a year, and we've already got, because several that's going with us this year have already asked about next year, and we've already got next year scheduled and planned.
Well, go through the details.
Next year is going to be October the 2nd through the 9th. It's going to be on Royal Caribbean again, and it's going to be on their largest ship, the Allure of the Sea.
Now, Allure, that is the largest ship afloat. Am I correct?
You're correct.
Okay.
As of right now, they're still building some more ships. I think the new Oasis-class ship that they're going to build is going to be a little bit bigger than Allure. But I'm when I say a little bit, I'm talking about like 4 or 5 inches longer.
Right, just to be the biggest.
Yeah. Just to top it a little bit. But it won't come out for another year or so. So as of right now, Allure is going to be the longest ship.
Well, and just to set that in perspective, it okay, now Enchantment is actually one of the smaller ships that's in Royal Caribbean's fleet, and it's got so much stuff to do that you couldn't do everything if you wanted to. Now, when you're going on to those Oasis class ships, Allure is, I mean, it's like it has a complete shopping mall and theme park on board.
Well, they all have a sort of a shopping mall on them, but this one has a really big mall. It has a central park which has growing grass, live flowers, live trees. It has park benches in it where you can sit and enjoy the park and with the breeze blowing through your hair. It has an amusement park on it with a Ferris wheel, or not Ferris wheel, but a merry-go-round.
Right.
And has little boardwalk shops. It has two rock climbing walls. It has two flow rider simulators on it. It has a zip line that goes from one end of the ship to the other. It has ice skating rink, a roller skating rink. It has miniature golf.
Now, is that the one that's got bumper cars?
No.
Oh, okay. That's a different one.
That's going to be the Quantum class.
Oh, that's nuts. But, yeah, they're really – and I can't even remember how many restaurants were on Allure.
Oh, they several, and I'd have to
– there's a bunch.
Yeah, I would have to get out and tell you exactly how many and which ones and – it's just unreal, all the different things on it.
So now this is leaving. This is going to be next October.
Next October.
And
so if you put a deposit down now, I mean, that gives you a good 9-10 months to have it to pay off in installments. So
right. And where all is this trip going to go?
Oh, that's a good question, because I love this itinerary because it is a 7-night trip.
Mm-hmm.
But we only have 3 stops, so we have the 4 days at sea, which gives you time to enjoy all the different activities on the ship. But we will be stopping in Haiti, Jamaica, and Mexico.
And I always have to mention this. When you say Haiti...
we're not with the general population. Royal Caribbean has bought part of the island, and it is sectioned off, and... I got people driving up saying, "I hear you on the radio." But, they got a part of the island that is sectioned off, and it's all fenced in, so there's no natives there The only local Haitians there are people who are working for Royal Caribbean with the activities and the gift stores and stuff that are there on the island. So you're not with the general population. It right. is completely safe. I was there just a couple months after the big earthquake they had.
Right.
So.
Well, and it's called Labadee, yeah. Haiti. And there again, that's you can go lay on the beach. They have a zip line that you go from the top of the mountain all the way down into the water. It's crazy.
Roller coaster.
Yeah.
A roller coaster.
A roller coaster, of course. But, so yeah, this is, again, we're talking about next October, and this is a 7-night cruise, and it's going out of, is it Fort Lauderdale?
Fort Lauderdale.
Okay. And on the biggest ship afloat. And I mean, this is one of those ultimate kind of experiences where, you know, basically you're putting almost the entire population of Estill County onto one boat.
With passenger and crew, you're looking close to 10,000 people on that ship.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it moves. They can still make it move.
It is like a moving city.
And one thing about it, I always have to let you give a plug, with the, you know, you're putting this group together, doing this as a travel agent. You're not charging anybody for any of your services.
No, I don't.
Royal Caribbean, they pay you a commission based on the rooms that you book.
Yeah, and that's the way with all of our vendors. So if I sell something Royal Caribbean, it's almost I'm an employee of Royal Caribbean because I would do just if you called Royal Caribbean or you went on Royal Caribbean's website, I'm just like that person.
Right.
And it's the same way with Disney or Sandals or any big vendor. So they pay me to do what their customer reps do.
Right. And that's the same if you were to book with Expedia or Travelocity or any of those.
Correct.
The company is going to pay those websites.
Right. So all these people running around in the area, you know, always on, we need to do more local, we need to do local. I have one of them Expedia sites on my website.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like using one of the others. So they can use, if they don't want to come in and see me personally, they can go to my website, themikestravel.com, and we have one of them booking engines where they can book airfare and they can book hotels and you can actually book a cruise on there.
The difference being, if you book something through the website and then you have an issue come up and you need to call somebody for help, they can call you instead of trying to sit on hold and wait for the roaming gnome to answer their call.
Correct. And on our website, we also sell concert tickets.
Right,
and we
right.
sell UK basketball and football tickets, or Bengals tickets, any NFL game, any minor league baseball game, major mm-hmm. league baseball game. We have all them tickets.
Very cool. Now, how hard is it if somebody is, you know, especially if they're an introvert, they like to do everything on their computer so they don't have to talk to anybody. Now, if they want to go on this trip, say they want to go on next year's group cruise, and how much are they going to have to do as far as coming into the office? I mean, are there, you know, five pages of paperwork they're going to have to fill out? How does that work?
They actually don't even have to come into the office. If they never want to even see me, they don't have to come in the office.
I didn't know that was an option. Come on.
I like you, Joe. I want you down here as much as possible. But we can actually do everything online. I have clients that rather just do everything online.
Sure.
But it can all be done online. If there's anything that needs to be signed, I can send it to them, and they can do an electronic signature and send it back to me.
Well, there you go. But again, if anything happens that or they need something changed or what have you, they can always just call 723-MIKE and get you right there on the other end.
Right. Or they can come down here to 209 River Drive and pop in.
That's right. That's right. And I'll say, and folks know this because I don't just say it when I have you on the air, but the Mikes, they do a fantastic job. They really do, and they go above and beyond. It's funny, of course, I work with Mike a lot. He's president of our local Chamber of Commerce. He's on my board of directors for the nonprofit. And so I work with Mike in a lot of different capacities. And he is just, he's like a hummingbird this week leading up to this group cruise because the folks that are stressed about, you know, I haven't had a document come in, you know, I need my birth certificate, my passport's not here, he is stressing out just as much as the person who is waiting on their document, and he does everything he can to make that process easier. So thank you, Mike.
I'm probably stressing more than they are. But I will get everybody on that ship. There's no problem about that. I've got backup procedures in place and backup plans, and I got a plan B and a plan C and whatever it's going to take. So we're working on it. We'll get it on there. Right now, the biggest concern is they started hitting me early this morning before I even got out of bed about Jacqueline. Or Joaquin, or whatever
Joaquin,
it is.
Joaquin, I think it is. Yeah, the tropical storm that's soon to be upgraded to a hurricane.
Oh, it's already been upgraded.
Oh, has it? Okay.
I got that notification about an hour ago.
Okay. It's down. It's actually near the Bahamas right now.
Correct. It is not even in the Bahamas. It's not even going to hit either one of the islands that we're going to be on, and it's not even going to hit the Florida coast or the Georgia coast or the South Carolina coast. It's going to go on up, and it's going to hit more northern. So
right.
We should have nothing to be concerned about, but I will be watching it and getting my hourly updates and checking on it until the day it gets out of here.
Right, right. And it should be long gone before anybody gets down there.
Yeah, I mean, we don't get on the ship until the 5th, and then the 5th, it's supposed to then be on land up in northeast, so it should be done way out of here.
Right. Up just dumping rain on everybody.
Yeah, everybody else is going to get rain. We're going to be sitting in the sun.
Well, that's why you go south, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Mike, as always, I appreciate you coming on, telling everybody kind of a little glimpse into your world. And I encourage anybody out there, if you've never even thought about talking to a travel agent for your plans, make sure and check these guys out. They respond to everything. I mean, whether it's phone call, through a website, email, Facebook messages, they're very responsive, and they go above and beyond to make sure that your vacation is as worry-free as possible. So, guys, you just got a couple days left here, so get back to work so you can get on the road.
All right.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, again, that was Mike Collins from down at the Mike's Travel, telling you everything about the upcoming trip, group cruise that they have going on. There's going to be, look out Caribbean, because there's going to be a lot of folks from Irvine down there on that ship, Mike. But it's going to be a fun time, and if you haven't ever considered it, honestly, I mean, cruising is fantastic. If you like doing a bunch of stuff, cruising's for you. If you like doing nothing, cruising's for you. You can really do as much or as little as you want, and nobody cares. It's all about what you want to do, and just do your own thing. And if you like to eat, definitely. If you think you've seen the biggest buffet, I mean, these things are enormous, and they go on forever. So obviously, Goosehead and his belly really do enjoy going down there and getting on the cruise ship. So anyhow, that being said, obviously I'm not going to be here for next week's show, so we're going to be picking out a really good rerun for you. I know, rerun, but I know those all you folks out there don't listen every week, so hopefully it'll be one that you weren't able to listen to the first go round, and they'll be taking care of that for us and running that for you. So hope you tune in next week. But right now, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with a few more tunes. You're listening to Come On Home. Welcome back to Come On Home. This is Goosehead Joe. And let's see, I promised you a tune or two here, so let's see what we've got. I tell you what, I'm wanting to chill out a little bit. And where is it? I know it's here somewhere. Here we go. Okay, a good chilling song. Here's a little Otis Redding for you, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay, 'cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Look like nothing's gonna change, everything still remains the same. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Listen, sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam, just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of a bay, wasting
time. Watching the sun bake, all of those tourists covered with oil, strumming my six string on my front porch swing, smell of shrimp there beginning to boil, wasting away again in Margaritaville, searching for my lost sugar salt. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know it's nobody's fault. Don't know the reason I stayed here all season. Nothing to show but this brand new tattoo, but it's a real beauty, a Mexican cutie. How it got here I haven't a clue. Wasting away again in Margaritaville, searching for my lost sugar salt. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame. Now I think, hell, it could be my fault. Flip-flop, stepped on a pop-top,
but my heel had to cruise on back home. But there's booze in the blender, and soon it will render that frozen concoction that helps me hang on. Wasting away again in Margaritaville, searching for my lost sugar salt. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know it's my own damn fault.
We followed up there with a little Jimmy Buffet, Jimmy Buffett there, the classic island singer. That was definitely dedicated to the mics down there, busily getting ready for the cruise vacation that so many folks have been looking for, forward to for so long. And I'll tell you, if you're one of those folks that, you know, you go to Myrtle Beach or you go to Florida and you rent a house and stay for a week, and or even, I mean, if you go to Pigeon Forge and rent a cabin for a week, when you really start comparing apples to apples, the costs, it's really in line, to be quite honest, because I'm definitely not a big spender. And to look at the opportunity to be gone for a week and you're not paying for every meal, you're not, you know, everything that you're doing, you're not having to pay for, it really does come into focus that it's really not a bad value to look at going on a cruise, rather than, you know, you rent the house and then you buy all the groceries and then you go out to eat all these times and every activity that you do, you got to pay for. Take a look at it. Make sure and give the mics a holler, and they'll be glad to talk through everything with you. And I guarantee you that you won't regret it. So, but it has just about gotten to the noon news break. So we're going to take a break for a few minutes here and be back with more. You're listening to Come On Home. Welcome back to Come On Home with Goosehead Joe. I have just been joined by the guests of honor for today. It's been kind of a juggling act trying to figure out how to balance school and being on the radio. So I definitely appreciate these folks. I've got four of them, and these are representatives from the Estill County High School Junior ROTC. So I'll let you go down the line. Tell everybody who you are.
I'm Cadet Captain Dalton Arthur.
I'm Cadet S5 Rachel French.
I'm Cadet Executive Officer Kendra Connor.
Cadet Sergeant Major Christian Cantor.
All right, very cool. So, I've talked to a couple of your all's folks before, and of course I can't remember everybody's rank, so I apologize there. But kind of about the program and what all that the different pieces and parts that kind of go together, and the overall everything that you do and accomplish and that you're involved with. But you had a fairly exciting Saturday, so I'll just, whoever wants to step up, let us know exactly kind of what you all did this past Saturday.
Okay, this past Saturday we went to the Midwestern Regional Championship in Grant County, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very gruesome endurance competition. We placed first overall, both of our teams. We entered a male and female team, and they both placed first in every event and overall.
See, that's really impressive. And I want to apologize to the guys, because when I first saw this come through on Facebook, it was Sylvia, and I know she's a higher up
battalion commander.
She is battalion commander. Okay, I apologize. So I saw that come through, and she was talking about the all female championship. I wasn't aware that the guys had taken everything as well.
We had some mistakes with grading, mm-hmm, done. So after reviewing all that, we figured out that the boys did take first overall.
Oh, fantastic. You got to watch those pencil pushers because they'll get you every time, you know. Now, that's huge. So how many, this is a, it was the Midwestern Regional State Championship. So how many states is that?
We had teams from, I know, Ohio and Kentucky. I think our Tennessee team didn't make it, but I think we had 18 teams total.
18 teams. And you wipe the floor with everybody.
Yes.
That is incredibly impressive. And for you folks that aren't familiar with the Raider team, just go through the events that you competed in on this competition Saturday.
Well, one of the events was something that we usually do, which was the one rope bridge, where we construct a bridge with a rope and two posts or two trees, just two points that we can make contact with the rope. And each cadet will tie themselves a swift seat, which is like a little harness that we tie out of rope. Then you hook yourself on the rope and you go all across to the other side and you unhook. And then you completely take it down, drag it across, and as soon as everything, all knots are out and everything's done, that's what they call time.
So this is not just a tough thing to go across and you got to figure out how to go across it. You actually have to build it and then go across and get off of it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's only slightly insane. And I can only imagine how difficult that has to be. Now, the thing that really, okay, what is the 5K PTT?
Okay, it was a 5K run overall. There were, I don't even know how many miles we ran. Like what?
Three.
Like
three or
the
four.
The entire course?
Yeah, 3 or 4. Somewhere.
3 or 4 miles the entire course, which is about a 5K. It's a little more than a 5K run. And then the PTT was a couple obstacles. They had like tires, like how you see football players, you know, go across the tires. We had that. We had a low crawl, and there was a... ammo box carry. And then there was another one. It was like you had to maneuver through an obstacle. I'm not even sure what the name of it was. But only one person could go through at one time, and it was really shallow, so it was really hard to fit through, and you had to maneuver and figure out how to go through that. And that's what the PTT was, and you had to run through all this. And then you had a one-mile sprint.
just to make it, you know, better. Now, as far as, because I got a little bit of information about what you all did, the total here, you told me 20 plus obstacles. So, I mean, and these are all over the board, right?
Yeah, we had an obstacle course, which came in between. It was, you started with the one rope bridge, and as soon as you finished the one rope bridge, you went into the obstacle course. You didn't have a break. And I'm not
sure.
Well,
that seems mean.
Yes. You did everything at once. And then after the obstacle course, you had the PTT. So you had no breaks in between. You went straight from one into another. So it was very endurance. You had to know how to handle yourself, how to make sure you weren't going too fast or too slow. Mm-hmm. So all the obstacles, there were like two rope climbs, balance beams. I don't know what all of them were. Walls. You had to cross a bunch of walls. What is it?
Cargo net.
There was also a cargo net that they had hung up that we had to climb up on it and then climb back down. There was also one where they took several boards and placed the spaces in between it that you climbed up several feet and then you crawled in between the top one and back down.
There's pictures of all of these on our Facebook page.
That's insane. I mean, this is like all of the worst parts of American Ninja Warrior. It really is. I mean, if you just had like, you know, you had to... you know, climb a ladder that you only had one rung and had to move it yourself. That's the only thing that's missing. This is crazy. And to remind you folks that are listening, these are teenagers. You know, this isn't, you know, we're not talking about a bunch of, you know, seasoned, grizzly, old, battle-worn veterans. I mean, these are young folks that are putting all this dedication and training time into accomplishing. Just to get through it is one thing, but to get through it faster and better than everybody else, that's a completely different ball game. Now, as far as training, what do you all have to do in order to stay prepared?
I don't know how to talk about
It's just, it's pretty gruesome. I don't normally train with them.
Mm-hmm.
I do more of the staff work. I still competed Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was truly the worst thing I've had to do in my entire life. Like, when we had the Spartan Crucible, I remember I told you
yes.
that one of the best parts was watching people vomit during the events.
Just from pushing and, themselves so hard, right?
Yeah, okay. Like you just push and push. And then Saturday I got my payback because we were just about done, and the boys had brought us out some water.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have anything on my stomach after running all that. I was very weak. And they handed me water, and I wasn't thinking, and I gulped down like half the bottle. And next thing I knew, I was running, and I had my head turned, and I was puking everywhere, and I was bawling my eyes out, and all the boys and Colonel were yelling at me to keep going. I couldn't imagine doing that at every competition.
Wow. So karma, huh?
Karma, definitely.
It'll get you every time. So it's funny, when I asked you about the training, everybody just kind of got this look on their face, kind of a half grin, and just all kind of shook their heads. So, I mean, is it that tough, or is it just hard to wrap your mind around how hard you have to work?
It's a mindset.
Yeah, it's more of the mindset part of it. We do a lot of gruesome training to prepare for this, but it's just how much of it that we do
mm-hmm.
is what's hard to wrap our mind. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around that aspect of it.
Now, as teenagers, you're supposed to be lazy and, you know, just stuck to your cell phones all the time and, you know, never go outside and be pasty white and, you know, a computer screen is the most activity you ever get. So you're talking about mindset. How do you motivate yourselves to rise above, not that stereotype, but rise above the natural, you know, hey, I'm 15, 16, I'm not at school, so I'm going to be on the couch with my feet up. You know, how do you motivate yourself and reach within to move beyond that?
Well, Colonel does pretty good at motivating us.
Aha!
I think it's just something, since the program was started 5 years ago, it's the Spartan thing, you know, Spartan up. That's our motto. Well, it's not our motto, but that's something we say a lot, you know, get out there, do it, push
mm-hmm.
yourself. This is our legend. This is what we are creating, you know. We want to continue. We are the best in the 7th grade, and we want to handle that. We want to keep it.
Booyah.
So.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear. It's a... So you've created a legacy, you've created tradition, plus you're carrying on what the folks that came before you have already started.
Definitely. We have our Mr. Spartan, we like to call him Trevor Charles. He was our 1st Battalion Commander. He started it up with Colonel, and he comes to our competitions, and he pushes us as hard as Colonel and 1st Sergeant do.
Wow. Yeah,
they all still come back and watch us. And
you know, normally in most sports, you know, the guy that's already graduated and he comes back and yells at you, you resent him, you know, but the fact that you've kind of you've grabbed onto that and appreciated that he was kind of a founding father, right?
Yeah, definitely.
That's amazing. Well, again, I'm joined by the representatives of the Estill County High School Junior ROTC. We've been talking about their big multi-state championship that they achieved this weekend. And we'll talk a little bit more when we come back about the tradition and the legacy, because this isn't something new. These folks are going around kicking butt all over the place. So we're going to take a quick break and be right back. You're listening to Come On Home.
Out of that trophy.
Welcome back to Come On Home with Goosehead Joe. I am joined by Raiders from the Estill County High School Junior ROTC team. Not just Raiders, representatives from the JROTC. As I said before, there are different pieces that go together to make up the program out at the high school. And they are... we've been talking a little bit about what they had to do to achieve this Midwestern Regional State Championship that they won this past weekend. And then also, you know, what motivates them to train, to get up and get ready to just do this sort of stuff, because it's kind of crazy for the just casual observer that teenagers are going to get up and push themselves. And a couple of them were saying during the break, I don't know why. That's what I do. I just get up, you know, why do I get up and work out? That's what I do. So it's amazing that that kind of motivation even exists among teenagers today. So let's talk a little bit about you were talking about during the break there. I'm going to go back and talk about the Crucible that was hosted out at Estill County High School, and it was crazy. I came out there, brought my kids out there. That's where actually my 4-year-old loves Ninja Warrior, and so he actually thought that we had gone to a Ninja Warrior competition, and he actually keeps asking me about that. And so I took him after the when the celebration was occurring on Saturday, and we came into town and stood on the side of the road and watched the bus go by real fast while everybody was screaming, and which really confused him, by the way, because he when are they going to get here? But he was asking me about it, it's all, you know, oh, those are the Ninja Warrior guys. Now, the Crucible at the high school was honestly the best organized event that I have been to, pretty much, period. Organized by whoever, professionals, because everything, honestly, was like clockwork, and every place, everybody was where they were supposed to be, and everything was in its place, and how did you achieve that kind of organization to put on an event like that?
Well, we have in the ROTC, we have staff, and that's actually what Rachel and I are.
Mm-hmm.
We plan stuff like that. And what our job is to plan any events, any things that we host if we're going anywhere. And so honestly, we've taken the years that we've had experience and did it and
applied it.
So it just happens?
It just happens. Yeah.
It's more of a team effort.
Yeah.
So again, it's just that's what you do, so you do it. Mm-hmm. It really is amazing. And I want to point out again that your colonel and first sergeant are geniuses, because in a way they've been able to instill these leadership values in you, and you know what to do, so they take care of that part. You know what to do and how to do it, but then they let you, and not only let you implement everything, they expect it, and you just do it, and it's amazing. And again, tip of the hat to those two gentlemen, because yeah, they've got it figured out, I believe. And again, going back to the Crucible at the high school, at one point I saw Colonel Patterson standing there, and everybody's going around and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, and da 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 da, and then just all of a sudden, like, everybody came together, and it was just like this kind of update. Okay, this is where we are with this. This is where we are with this, and then everybody just scattered again. And it was the neatest thing. It was like watching a beehive or something. So now going back to exactly how you all planned and executed the Crucible at the high school. And again, Rachel did. That was one of the first things she told me, was you really need to go over and watch this. And what was it called with the telephone
Spartan
pole?
Spartan Dirk event.
The Spartan Dirk?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they pretty much, they got to pick up a telephone pole, carry it around the track, and then they've got to like work out with it as a team. Is that a fair assessment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's a telephone pole, people. That's not just something. I mean, that's really impressive. So these guys are working so hard that, you know, sometimes they barf, and you know, and that's like your payoff, I guess, as an observer, is to watch somebody push themselves that hard. But there was when Sylvia and Summer were on the show with me, they were talking about the special event that was super top secret. I've got a volunteer here to talk a little bit about that.
I was in charge of the part of setting it up down at the river where we were going to put in the boats. We called it the boat op,
mm-hmm.
where we would brief a team on what to do, and they would start from the high school, and they would run down the gravel road that runs behind the high school, and then they would hit this white house that's back there. And we got permission from a man out there, an older man that owns a farm. He allowed us to use his farmland to go down into the woods and enter the boats in, right into the river. So the, how many miles would you say that it was?
Probably 3 or 4, around that.
They would run down there, then they would put on their life vests. She was talking about Trevor Charles earlier. He would check it first, and they'd come down to me, and I would check it. And then they would go on down and get inside of a boat. And then they would go down the upriver for a couple meters, and then they would pull up an ammo can that had a card attached to it, and they'd rip off the letter that they needed to get, and they would bring the boat back. We'd tie it up, and then they would get out, and then they'd take off the life vest, run back, and if they their time stops whenever they have the right card that they were originally told to get. And if they did not get that right card, or they left it, or they
don't
lost
tell
it,
me.
Their time did not stop until they brought back that card. We had several teams forget their cards in the boat, lose them, and then they'd have to completely restart. And there's no time stopped or nothing for
did
them.
Anybody cry when that happened? Because I would.
Well, I drove by and I seen a lot of cadets crying. Like, a lot. They did not like the hills at all. They decided that they didn't want to run, so they decided to walk the whole way.
So,
yeah, it's pretty great.
So not only are you the best, you expect everybody else to be the best too. And I did see a lot of the, you know, cheering for the different teams and you know, trying to motivate them along. You know, and that's, there's a lot to say for that as well. Not just to, you know, dominate everybody, but then also be supportive of those who may need a little extra motivation. So that's that is quite admirable as well. That's pretty amazing. And again, I mean, is that one of those things? Is it just kind of an overarching, I don't know, a way to be that that the colonel would try to instill in you from the beginning?
Well, yes, but we've always, from the beginning, we always motivated other teams. We're not at the competitions to compete against the other teams. We're competing against ourselves to make ourselves better, and just motivating them. I mean, competition is good. I mean, I don't like going into a competition and just blowing everybody out of the water. I want a good fight. So, I mean, I want to push for that trophy. I mean, I don't want to get a handout.
You're one of those guys that you really don't get fired up until you're bleeding, aren't you?
I'm always fired up.
You're the guy in the movie that, you know, you get the little spot of blood on your lip. Well, now it's on. That's but it is, I really encourage you. I'm hoping that this was the second year for the Crucible at the high school, and I'm really hoping that that continues. I hope that that's in the plans. And I really encourage everybody, which we'll make sure to highlight when that's coming up. It's a really easy thing to come into. I mean, there's not huge crowds of people, and there are a lot of people, but the ones that are there, they're where they're supposed to be, and they're doing what they're supposed to do. So it's unlike if you were to go to, you know, some, I don't want to say normal, some mainstream sporting event where you're going to have teams and they're, you know, and it's a bunch of high school kids and they get off the bus and, blah, 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 and everybody's running around and, you know, there's things happening that probably shouldn't be happening. I mean, these folks are doing what they're supposed to do, or what they're the highest level of what you would expect them to do. I'll say that. And it really is impressive. Now, as far as some of these obstacles and the different events that you compete in, you know, I know, I'm guessing that you folks have to get up and run. Then you said you don't have to, but that's what you do. You run a lot. And just like you mentioned with the boat op, why can't you put anything close together? Why do you have to run to do everything? That just doesn't seem fair. But I guess that's more in line with real life too, isn't it? So, I mean, as far as the training, because I'm really interested in this, and I don't want you to give away any secrets, but, you know, what are some of the normal things, if you all were to get together and you have a planned time one day that that the Spartan team is getting together, what are the kind of things that you all do? And again, with the grins.
It's hard to explain. we're just a strange bunch of kids. I mean, I don't know how to put it.
Things like we do rope bridge quite a bit because it's kind of one of those things. Either you're really good at it or you're not.
Fair enough.
So we practice that quite a bit. Make sure everyone has their rope, like their knots down, because there's a lot of knots you have to tie to make sure it stays up and you keep tension in it. They do a lot of hill sprints up the Spartan Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I have no idea how steep it is, but it's very steep.
It's really steep.
Very holy. And I've seen them do many hill sprints. We have pictures on our Facebook page of everything, all the competitions we go to. I have an album for Raider practice, and you can see them doing litter carries around the track, running, doing things with the dirt, like he was talking about with the doing workouts with the telephone pole. We do that, but to a crazy level.
Mm-hmm.
Of doing 100 shoulder presses with it, and then doing miles walking with it. Things like that.
That's insane.
Just usually our training will vary between whether there's a competition coming up that we know about. We usually look through what's going to be happening at that competition, and we'll train exactly for what's happening at that competition.
If not harder.
Oh, it's only a 5K, we're doing 10. That kind of thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's much. only a 1,000-pound telephone pole. You know, we're going to do two.
Let's duct tape that one. We got this.
Okay, yeah, this is beyond. I kind of had these fanciful thoughts of, you know, if this would have been around when I was in high school, maybe this is something I would have done. And now I'm completely convinced there's no way I could have done that. now we talked a little bit before, and you two ladies you handle a lot of the administrative and obviously the public relations, the organizational aspect of things. Now, so how did this happen, Rachel, that you got pulled into competing with the team on Saturday?
I didn't want to, that's for sure. we always have people injured, always, always, always. One of the competitions we went to last year said if we had an award for the team that had the most injuries, we definitely would have won that award. Everyone is always hurt. We had a couple girls, I think four girls with hurt ankles. A girl had a broken toe. Three of our girls have asthma. I'm not completely sure about all the boys that were hurt, but I'm pretty sure all of them were hurt too. And then we had a couple girls who just couldn't compete. Like one of our girls, our Sergeant Major, has a hip issue, and she was pulled out. She couldn't practice or anything for soccer or Raider.
Right.
So they put me in after a couple months of no running. And
okay.
Yeah.
So Madam Pukey had to come, but you finished.
I did finish. Yes.
And that's quite admirable, because yeah, come on now. How many teenage girls do you know are going to push themselves so hard that they puke and then they keep going? That's what's really hard to believe. But as far as that, and as far as the ROTC program overall, I would imagine that you all have way more to deal with than most folks would even realize. So, I mean, if, for instance, if someone were to want to partner with the ROTC for something, and they obviously, because this is the way it works with most groups, they would call to talk to Colonel Patterson. Well, then what's he going to do?
Probably be very upset that they did not know better than to call our commander, our battalion commander. Most things, I think, actually do go through our cadets. I know colonels called sometimes about things, but I think most things do. People see our cadets out more than they see colonel or whatever, and they naturally know us more. I mean, we're from Estill County, and
sure.
But yeah.
But that is cool. And so what are some of the other things that you all? As from an administrative standpoint, what are some of the other things that you have to deal with?
Kendra.
Well, us seniors, like, we're not only there for Raider team or, like, the staff training or rifle team or anything. Like, sometimes we even teach the classes. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, because we've been there for 4 years, and that's what they expect. And, I mean, I think we do a pretty good job, honestly.
You're the best, right?
Of course. Always.
But yeah, I mean that, and it really is cool. I can't stress that enough, that this is all student led, that they're, you just don't see this normally. And I know I kind of sound, I'm tripping over my words and stuff here, but it really is. I've been thoroughly impressed by the way that you lead yourselves, you have a clear chain of command, and you follow it. And there, I mean, it just, it's so strange.
That's kind of the point of the program, I guess, because we have certain qualities and morals that we teach, like leadership,
mm-hmm.
and honesty and
integrity
and being, like, you know, being active in your community. And that's what the program is about, making young people become better citizens.
Right.
And we may, you know, plan Raider events and we go to these competitions, but it's just like a big learning experience.
Right.
And we're all just like a big family because we we rely on each other. We're really close. If you could puke with people, you're close.
That's a good point.
So, I mean,
I was texted just now by one of our parents and told to invite you out to come see our practices. Or anytime. We practice pretty much every day, except after competitions, we don't practice as hard.
We practice every day.
We do. I'm pretty sure we didn't have practice yesterday, and that was the first time we haven't had practice in...
Since last year.
Since last year, yeah. Oh,
like the middle of last year.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
But I was told to invite you out.
Well, thank you very much, parent. And I'm not going to lie, the prospect of that is quite frightening to me. Because I'm pretty sure that I just have to find a spot really high up so I could watch far distances. Because if I'm supposed to try to follow you, it's not happening. I'm telling you right now. You know, I might make it through 1K. We'll see how that goes. But I'll be way back in the pack. I'd be one of the ones that was crying. You know, you'd be driving by laughing and, you know, hey, look at that guy. But I can't imagine. It's just such an impressive thing that you all are doing. And all the different pieces and parts, that's, you know, and it all works together. And I just want to say again, if you just tuned in, the Estill County High School Junior ROTC this past weekend came home with the first overall for male and for female in the Midwestern Regional State Championships. So what's coming up next? What are you looking for?
Montgomery County?
Yeah.
Actually, there's a competition in Ohio. I don't know if we're doing it yet, but it's the 24th.
I think we are.
And I believe we are, but all I gotta say is we're gonna be ready.
I like this guy. And so, as far as your season, is this just a fall?
All year.
Dang. So how is it that anybody, especially if somebody's on the Raider team, I realize with the different pieces, you can be heavily involved but not be, you know, you could still do other things. But I mean, do any of you that are on the competition Raider, you know, can you do anything else?
Actually, yes. We have a couple.
How?
Football. We have a couple football players and a couple soccer players, and if they go to football practice, the way Colonel sees it, they're practicing. So that's Raider practice too. Like, you're using your free time and you're working out and you're progressing in class, then you're doing good. I mean, you're still on the team. I mean, they're, as long as they're trying and they're getting what they need to get done, then.
Well, and I would imagine it seems to me like the group is going to hold every individual to a certain standard, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got a lot of positive peer pressure that's coming through to make sure everybody's carrying their own weight.
And if someone's not, then someone else is going to pick it up.
Yeah. So you lose your spot is what could possibly happen. Is
no,
that what
I mean, we have a cadet. He works 24/7,
mm-hmm.
and the past 2 weeks, he's worked every day just to show up to the competitions, and he's probably one of the best cadets we've probably ever had. He's hard working, and like, he hasn't been there, so I mean, we just had to improvise. We had to put someone in that we didn't put in for a while, and
right.
I mean, we just had to work with it. And he came out and did his job. I mean,
and when everybody's the best, that's just how it works, right?
Yeah, and talking about on this subject, even if, say, you have to work, we understand that, and we have different things for that, which we put out our training schedule. We give it to cadets that won't be there so that they can do their workout at the house so that we can make sure that they are ready for whatever we need them to be.
Wow. So a ton of discipline, but progressive at the same time. This is, I tell you, folks, this is where it's at. And if you've got kids that are coming up, getting ready to go into high school, I would really recommend you get them to check out this group, because they're all such respectful and admirable young people. So I just want to say we're almost out of time. We're going to have to go here in just a second. But all you folks, Estill County High School Junior ROTC, thank you so much. I know it was tough for working out to come and talk to the folks this morning.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, guys. All right. Well, as for me, I'm out of here, and I'm way far out of here. So in the week to come, be kind to yourself and be kind to one another. Have a good one, everybody.